Councilor Romero.
I move that the Region of Queens Municipality apply to the Nova Scotia Utility and Review Board for changes in its rates for water and water service, fire protection to the Region of Queens Municipality, and changes to its rules and regulations for customers served by the Region of Queens Municipality Water Utility as set out in the Water Rate Study prepared by G.A. Eisner Consulting Limited in association with Blaine S. Rooney Consulting Limited dated July 27th, 2021.
And that is seconded by Councilor Gibney. Are there any further comments or questions? Councilor Charlton?
I think that was a really well thought of presentation. It was explained really well, so I just want to thank those two gentlemen who made it crystal clear.
Yes, and I think we all echo
yeah.
the fact that we understand this. Hearing no other questions, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Safe travels back. 15 minutes will not allow enough time to do the audit report. I do not believe.
We can go longer today.
Do you want to run through and then do you want to get the audit report finished up, and then that will leave us with the planning reports and in-camera items for later today?
Yep.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
That's where you
11.2.
That's where you are.
No.
Yeah, there is a motion, and perhaps Councilor Brown is chairman of the Internal Audit Review Committee. I'd like to make that motion.
Yep. I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt the audited financial statements for the fiscal year ended March 31st, 2021.
Seconded by Councilor Hawks. So consolidated statements are quite different from anyone who runs a business who's accustomed to seeing an expenditure and an operational sheet. However, this is what is, this is the law. This is how municipalities must present their audited financial statements. And these statements were presented at the last internal review committee. And now they're being presented to us, so.
So I will, just to echo what Mayor Norman said, just some Cole's notes on consolidation versus non-consolidation. So if you have four pockets in your coat, each of those separate pockets would be reported on separately in the non-consolidated statements. But what the consolidated statements do is they add all everything in all four pockets together. So that is, to what Mayor Norman said, that is required by public sector accounting standards, but it's not really a useful tool for all of you because everything is in one blob. So what we do is we break everything out in detail in the non-consolidated statements. If the audit is done on the consolidated statements alone. However, all of the information from the consolidated statements flow directly from the non-consolidated statements. So even though the non-consolidated statements say unaudited and there's an advisory to reader right in that set of statements, all the information from the consolidated came from here. So you can rest assured that while it wasn't perhaps audited directly, all of the information came from here to get to the consolidated statements, okay? Would you like me, I have notes on the statements, I'll just go through them, or have you guys all read them over? You can ask me questions, like what is it that will be useful to you?
The notes.
The notes, 'cause I found it was most helpful for the audit committee.
Yeah. Notes? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, yes.
Yeah, like Gloria went through them and actually made comments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, so in the audit and internal control committee, Gloria Banks came, and she is our principal auditor from Grant Thornton. So she went over all of the ins and outs of the consolidated statements, and really, I just briefly touched on the non-consolidated ones for everyone on the audit and internal control committee, and there were a couple of things that needed tweaking. So we got, I got that done before you have the draft in front of you that is the result of that meeting. So I'm going to start by looking at the consolidated statements and looking over some of the high notes in it. So if you will turn, please, to page A4. This is the consolidated statement of financial position. This is a snapshot statement. So this says, as of March 31st, 2021, this is everything we had in our pockets, okay? So it gives us the cash, and I, you know, when I looked at these, when I was interviewing for this job, I looked at the statements from last year, and I was like, wow, $20 million, those people be rich. That's a lot of cash. But $16 million of that is committed through reserves, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. So this goes through all your accounts, your receivables, that's the people that owe you money, the liabilities, people that we owe money to. The big thing on this page, if you look under liabilities, deferred revenue, we typically don't have a lot of deferred revenue, but this year we have the safe restart funds. That's why we have $548,000 of deferred revenue. A lot of, like, four, I think $449 of that is safe restart funds. The thing that I want to draw your attention to is the solid waste post-closure liability, that $3.2 million. I just want you to kind of keep that number in the back of your head because we're going to talk about that a little bit later, okay? That is a liability on our balance sheet because it's what we think we're going to need to close the landfill and keep it in the way in which the government says for another 30 years after it's closed. We have to monitor it and do all the test wells and things like that. So, inventory of supplies, that's pretty straightforward. That is the water pipes and fittings and things like that. Prepaid expenses is higher than last year, mainly because we have a big Blue Cross premium that they prepaid, so that was in there, that's our medical plan, and the SAP support that was prepaid. So that's really all the items of interest on A4. I'm not gonna spend as much time on the consolidation as I will on the non-consolidation. So if you have any questions, just say, if I get carried away. So in terms of the revenue and expenses, again, keep in mind, this is all of our pockets added together. So in consolidation, when you move money from one pocket to the other, that's called fiscal transfers in our budget. When we bring money in from the reserves and put it out to the reserves, those are all canceled out because consolidation is all one jacket. You move money from my this pocket to this pocket, it's still in my jacket. So the transfers are all, they all cancel each other out. So all we're looking at here is the revenue at the top, very straightforward. We have taxation, and I'll talk a little bit about why that went up later. Sales of service, same thing. The water rates is in there. There's the hydrant that Blaine and Jerry talked about, the $197,235. Government transfers went up because we got safe restart money. Services provided to other governments. There was, I think that was a reallocation for me from last year. We collect certain number of dollars for tonnage when we take garbage in from other municipalities. And I believe last year in the financial statement, it was included in other revenue from own sources when it really should have been the revenue from other local governments. So I reallocated it this year. Government transfer capital contribution. That is your gas tax, people. I know that's been a lot of discussion. That is, it has a line all by itself. $671,655. $671,655 what we got last year, which was, well, obviously almost double. We sold the bus garage this year, was fully depreciated, so that's where the $116,000 came from. Quickly going through the expenses on a consolidated basis, general government services went up. We had $25,000 extra in admin cleaning. We had $60,000 extra in legal. There was the noise dispute, and there was some legal surrounding, I think, the Trestle Trail land that had significant legal bills associated with it. There was $55,000 that was given to Queens County Transit, and an additional $50,000 that we included in expenses for uncollectible taxes this year. Remember, we talked about the valuation allowance and how we had to fix that and make sure it was correct. The environmental health services expenses, that is landfill post-closure expense. Remember I said that's a difference of $800,000 between last year and this year. We're going to talk about that later. That's a biggie. Don't forget, there'll be tests. Environmental development services, and on that line, the broadband investment that we pulled in from gas tax is there, $437,000. Don't worry, we're going to talk about this more in the non-consolidation. Cultural and recreation services, that's where our contribution for the Trestle Trail Bridge was of $487,000. Okay? So if you look at that, the difference between the surplus we had last year of $2 million and the surplus we have this year of $598,000, which is, you know, $600,000. You have to think about it. Our gas tax was reduced by half, so that cut that revenue down, and we incurred expenses of the broadband, the Trestle Trail Bridge, and we actually had an increase in expense for our landfill of $800,000. Okay? None of those things were budgeted because they're not part of our budget. So the second page is a statement of cash flows, and this, all of these statements are required so that people can easily see where our money went, where we used it. So if you see, for example, look under operating activities, increase in solid waste closure and post-closure costs, $875,000. That's added back because that's a non-cash expense. We don't have to pay anybody that yet. We pay in 20 years in the future when we close the landfill. So that's why it's added back on our cash flow. The deferred revenue, there's the safe startup money that we have for $449. That's how much cash we kept out of that. There were some changes in our payables and accruals. We invested $1.16 million in tangible capital assets. And I have a specific note in the non-consolidated statement, so I'll tell you where and how much each were. We had $323 invested in the water assets. And then, of course, there's our gain on the bus garage. We had $325,000 worth of new debt. That was debt from last year, was budget approved from last year for, I believe, the Jubilee? New debt of $325,000 was incurred as approved by Council February 11, 2020 for Brooklyn sewer and water upgrades. So that means it was last year was the work was done, but we actually got the money in this fiscal year. Okay, so we're going to statement of changes in net financial assets, A7. This tells you what you have to watch this because this is where we look at net change in financial assets, $1 million versus the 2.3. We have to make sure that always stays positive and grows because it's a reflection of how much we're investing in our infrastructure and capital assets. We get to the notes next. There's going to be, there's a lot of these notes that are duplicates. So I only have this one, the budget one, A20, noted, because it's the difference between, remember when we do our budgets every year? The budget, we budget the operating. We don't budget anything going in and out of the reserve. We don't budget amortization, which is over $1 million a year. So because of the rules in public sector accounting, I have to take our budget and I have to add the expenses for amortization. I have to add the water in because remember our water budget is separate from our operating budget. And then I have to cancel out, you'll see where it says transfer 41,560. So the fiscal plan for the financial statements is zero. So according to this, we budgeted a $406,000 deficit. So again, it just goes to show that it's not really, this document, while it's great for public sector accounting standard, isn't a good tool for us. We would have never budgeted a $400,000 deficit, right? But when you add, you take that $1 million worth of amortization off, boy, that's a lot of money right there. Okie dokie? Yep. All right. Okay. So I'm going to go now. Does anyone have any questions about the consolidation? I know I kind of flipped through it because really this is the nuts and bolts right here, our non-consolidated statements. Anybody have any questions on the difference? Anybody need to go get a coffee? We all good? Okay. So now I'm on the non-consolidated financial statements, and you'll notice that the first page is the advisory to readers that say these are not audited, okay? Then we have our index page. The first thing I want to show you on B1 is the last line under expenditures. Transfer current year surplus. Our surplus was $805,665. That was our surplus. And last year, what was happening was, because you know, last year the surplus was 441. You'll see it down on the bottom line. So last year and every year before that, the surplus was being allowed to accumulate in the accumulated surplus in the operating company. That's not allowed in according to public sector accounting standards. So what I did was I had to pull all of that money out of operating and put it into the special operating reserve. And so this year, that's why there's the transfer of current year surplus for 2020 is zero, because it wasn't done. That $441,000 went into the accumulated surplus of operating, and you'll see me later move that out into the special operating reserve. Now the difference between the 441 and the 805 was in previous year, what was being done was certain expenses and revenues were being pulled from the landfill accounts to make a number called landfill profit. And that number was about $450,000 a year. And it was pulled, it was expensed in operating, and it was moved to the second generation landfill reserve. Now, either way, if it stays here in the $805,000 or it gets transferred to the special reserve, it's still in reserve. The issue is, if it's in the second generation landfill reserve, that's where it has to be used. Technically, that 805, including that 4, goes to the special operating reserve, which means it can be used for what council designates it to be used for. Is that correct, Chris? Yes. So I'm not sure why this was being done, but CAO McNeil and I discussed it, and we just felt that it was just, we're not doing it anymore. And that's why our revenue was so much higher than last year's surplus. Even with COVID, it's $805,000. And you may get asked by your constituents, well, you guys, you have a surplus of $805,000. Well, half of it is because of this number that we're no longer moving, okay? Does anyone have any questions on that? I'm trying to explain that.
So half of it is profit from the landfill.
The accounts were pulled such that it showed a profit, but it wasn't, because it was like cherry picking numbers and then creating this number and then moving this number to the second generation landfill reserve. So it didn't really make any sense to me, and it didn't make any sense to CAO McNeil either. So we just said, you know, this is just ridiculous, because at the end of the day, it all goes into our savings. Remember when I first started, I said we have a little savings jar? Well, it all goes into the savings jar, but this one would go into the second generation landfill reserve, which is specifically designed or put there to sell to be built, but now it goes into the general savings account that isn't designated, right? So it goes to savings either way, it's just, it was designated before and now it's in the general.
So are there any are there any funds that automatically go to that second generation landfill, or
yes,
will be something?
Absolutely, $536,000 a year. It's part of our operating budget.
From, all right, so
yeah.
We were, so actually $1 million was getting shoved.
Correct. It was a lot.
And then that limits us for
for money used for other projects.
Well, and that's the thing. So I just wanted to explain that. I hope I didn't open. Now let's go to B2. Is everyone still awake?
I see why you love this.
We just got to be careful that we're not suggesting we've got all this new money, because we don't.
No.
This is just how we're accounting for it on the financial statements.
Yeah.
And what we're suggesting is we need to do a better job at accounting properly for it as to where it should go, and not just put it into some, in a reserve somewhere that's hidden. It's not, nothing's hidden. But by putting it in, all this extra money into landfill, essentially handcuffs council's hands to be able to spend on anything else. But going forward, we need to budget differently, so that money is available if we, the council decides to make it available for other initiatives or other projects or other departments or whatever they might need.
Mm-hmm. So on page B2, I wanted to just point out, if you look under taxes receivable, we have the valuation allowance for uncollectible taxes, and we all talked about that at the last council meeting. Remember when I came with my little valuation allowance sheet? And that is because we are expected and obligated to say how much of the taxes we feel aren't collectible. So we'll be having a policy, I'll be bringing a policy forward to the audit and internal control committee later in the year about that. We have a 13% improvement in tax collection thanks to the manager of finance and her hard work over last year, so that is great. We also know that there were a lot more people that, because of the CERB, had money that were available to pay their taxes. Something that we did hear in the audit and internal control committee was that a lot of those people now are in financial trouble. So we'll see what happens this year. It was good. We collected a lot of our taxes, as we talked about in the quarterly report, but we'll see how it flushes out at the end of the year. What next? Okay, so let's go right down to the bottom where it says net financing. You see it says prior period adjustment, $36,412. That was an entry that I had to correct that was made last year after the audit was finished. So I had to go back and reverse that entry. And then here's me, transfer accumulated prior year surplus to special operating reserve. So that 2.14 million surplus is me taking it from the operating company as an accumulated surplus and moving it to the special operating reserve. That is what we are supposed to be doing for public sector accounting, okay? And also, I have to move the cash literally in the bank over from one bank account to the other. And you'll see this, it creates a big due to from, but after this was all done, we actually physically moved the cash. So it is actually over there. Okay, does everyone have lost everyone's good so far? Good. Christine, you with me? All right.
So just to clarify, so at the bottom of the page, the accumulated surplus last year was 2.1 million, now it's zero. We haven't lost 2.1 million.
No.
We just transferred it to the proper reserve that we're required
yes.
to by auditing standards.
Yeah. Just moving it to where it should live, where it's supposed to live. So page B3, this is our statement of financial position of our capital fund. So the first statement of financial position was our operating fund. So that was one of our pockets. This is the capital fund. Now in this pocket, this is where all of our things that we own live. All of our sidewalks, our streets, our sewers, all of that, the trucks, all of the assets called tangible capital assets that we own, it lives in this pocket or fund. Now, if you look under liabilities, you'll see the landfill liability estimate of what it will cost to close and monitor the landfill. That's the $3.29 million that we talked about from the consolidation. Again, that's important. difference between last year, 2.4, and this year, 3.2. Due to firms of just one fund owing the other fund money, long-term debt, that's how much money we owe, tangible capital assets at cost, there's a note that we'll talk about later that'll detail out where our $81 million is, and then we have our accumulated surplus in the capital account of $44 million. So the non-consolidated capital fund statement of financial activities and changes in fund balance, that just tells you what moved from one pocket to the other into or out of the capital fund. So you'll see here the $875,000 for that, they call accounting word is accretion landfill liability. That's there. And then you'll see the amortization, the $1.8 million, that's there. Transfer from equipment reserve, that is $347,000 that came to pay for two of our equipment for public works, a truck and a cat thing for the landfill that was budget approved from the special operating and the equipment reserve. And then this one, the sewer and gas tax reserve, $819,000 paid for Jubilee and Brookline. So because the assets live here, the money has to come in here to pay for the assets. Because you'll see the capital fund doesn't have a lot of cash. They don't have a lot of cash. So when we have something live here, it has to be paid for, so the money has to come in from one of the other funds to pay for it. You with me?
Yep.
So this is basically a breakdown of where how much our assets are and what kind of section they're in. There's a note in the back of the financial statements that include the water. It's the same note. And this is broken out the way that PSAS, Public Sector Accounting Standards, likes to see it. I have a lot more detail in my sheets because I have to break it out by each individual asset, literally, like each sidewalk, when it was built, what year, how many years it has left. So it's a lot more detailed. So if you ever want to know anything about how old something is, come see me and I'll do my best to find out for you. Okay, now we're to the good stuff, B5. Taxes. So our assessment values increased for residential. We got, about $198,000 more. Commercial property, we had reallocated Port Mersey because it was in grants in lieu, was it not, last year? So we reallocated that to commercial property, so that's corrected. We looked at our taxable assessments for resource and try and look at why it went down, and there was a decrease in resource tax base in North Queens. Well, we didn't have time to really dig down and find out what that was, but there was a decrease in the resource up there. What else do I have on this page? Nothing of interest. The D transfer taxes here, see? 440 last year, 547, 690 this year, about halfway down the page. And then, of course, we have things taken off of our taxes. We have to pay for correctional services. That's the jail. Regional Housing Authority, that's 142 versus a budget of 105, so that was about a 30% increase in what we expected to pay. And then appropriation to the Social Regional Center for Education, so that's what we have to pay for the school board. That's mandated by the province, and it's based on our assessments. So if our assessed value goes up, I think this year it's 3.5 cents. So if our assessment value, our base goes up, so does the amount that we have to pay to the school boards. Does anyone have any questions on B5? No? Services provided to other governments, that's landfill services that we provide other governments. Sales of services, protective services, that's pretty self-explanatory. Environmental health services, that's a landfill to the public. So that did go up last year. As we all heard the stories about people doing renovations and things like that. Well, that's what was going on in our landfill. We went from $817,000 to $883,000. So that was a good thing. Revenue from own sources, section 5. The big thing was there was no call center revenue last year, and that's under rentals. we had, our return on investments went down with Swanee because interest rates went down with Swanee. So that was unfortunate, but we're gonna look and see how we can fix that this year. Our interest and penalty revenue went down. We, the council approved a 1 month interest forgiveness last year because of COVID, if you all remember. So none of you, I don't think, well, Jack, you would, well, Councilor Gans, you would have been around. So that was, it decreased the amount of interest that we were able to collect. Queen's Place, of course, that's COVID, you know, it was closed for a number of months of the year. Unconditional transfers from other governments, no big surprises there. And conditional transfers from the federal government, we got the extra safe restart fund, which is a big bump from us. And we also got some more diversion tax credits that were unbudgeted, so that's, was, that accounted for the increase there. Is there any questions on B6? Nope, okay. Okay, B7, so this is the last revenue part.
Oh, I have one question.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So why did past council budget, I'm trying to get my line straight here, 50,000 DMA funding, and its actual was 6,000.
Department of Municipal Affairs.
Oh, right.
So I
okay.
think that was the funding we had applied to.
Was that the Wayfair? No.
No, I think that was, we applied for 50,000 or something like that to be a REN.
Oh.
Because that was way back, because this is last year's financial
right.
statement. It was either the REN or it was facade program and some other DMA program, and we were turned down. So.
Okay. That was no fault of ours. It was just expected.
So we would have budgeted revenue, but we also would have budgeted expenses to the same amount. But if we didn't get to 50,000, we would, there would be the expenses of 50,000 on the other side.
Well, while we're on the topic of budget, you guys all remember the little house that we're all out, we're all, you know, all the municipal units are, have that little house, and everyone must have a full green house, and there's little houses within the house.
Mm-hmm.
One of those houses is budget accuracy. So, what we've seen, the manager of finance and myself, is that if expenses came in under budget, there would be expenses added to the financial statements with the offset being added to reserve, because that way their budget would be correct. So what you're going to see in the next couple of years as the manager of finance and I work our way through is we're probably not going to get a greenhouse for budgeting because we're going to be doing it, we're going to go with the real life. You know, because that's the way it should be done. So be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And further to that, let's look at prior year adjustments. $405,862. That is a number of things, the biggest of which was $292,400. Keep in mind, when I say dollars, that doesn't mean cash dollars. That just means a value. That was booked as a due to, as in we owe local government $292,400. We don't. That was $30,000 that was put into this account every year called sediment removal or PC septage. So this one was PC septage. So what we've, and of these, and all of these I discussed with CAO McNeil. So what we needed to move it over, and now it has its own reserve. So it's no longer in accounts payable in operations, which is, it never should have been. It has its own reserve. So now if the Director of Engineering and Public Works comes to council at budget time and says, you know, we have to spend some money on sediment removal, we have a reserve set up for this. And we can use that rather than having it affect the tax rate. The other thing was there was transition team funding from 2013. Of $52,000 that was still sitting in deferred revenue. So we brought that into revenue, and then all the rest of this money would have gone to the accumulated surplus and special operating reserves. $18,500 that was an accrual set up in 2013 for Auditor General. And CAO McNeil explained to me that in 2013, the government decided that there was going to be an Auditor General that was gonna go around and audit municipal units because of that spending scandal, do you remember? And then they decided not to do it. So there was an amount that was recorded in 2013 2013, but then it just sat there. So we made that go to this accumulated surplus. $8,230 was for the courthouse. There was an accrual to, that we owed the province for the courthouse from 2016, we did not owe. So that went away. $5,600 was a 2003 accrual that had been set up to an ex-employee's estate that never came to fruition. And then, of course, a $36,000 prior period adjustment. So that's where the $405,862 comes from.
There was just money sitting in an account.
It wasn't money. It was payable. There were accruals. Like, we owe this. When we didn't owe this, or this. So at some point, when those payables were set up, it was expensed on the operation, on the operating statement. So I took the owing money and we move it to the surplus. So because someone paid for it at some point, but it just never, we never owed it. Or we, at the time, I think they thought they would owe it, but eventually we didn't owe it. So that then goes to the accumulated surplus in the special operating reserve. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about that? So it's all cleaned up now. So now we know all of the accounts are nice and tidy. The manager of finance and I are very happy that we're very content and we sleep much better at night. Now let's get down to the expenses. B8, general government services. The big things that I have noted here, the tax billings, and I talked about this a little bit on our quarterly statement. We had $17,200 last year. And this year was $8,400, so there's a savings there. And you will notice, will you not, that the $8,400 is exactly the same number as the budget.
Too much of a coincidence.
Because, yes. And we also noted, further to the water conversation of earlier, that none of the expenses associated with billing water was ever allocated to the water utility. None of the mailing, none of the envelopes, none of the printing, none of that. So we'll be fixing that up too. Under common services, you see we went from $76,000 to $99,000. That was cleaning and maintenance for this building. And when I say cleaning, if I say anything about cleaning, sanitary supplies, PPE, we would have recouped all of that money from the Safe Startup Fund. So it has to be recorded as a revenue on one side, as money coming in from Safe Startup, and expense over here, okay? Other, legal for planning. We talked about that in the, I think when I talked about the consolidated, there was some McNutty?
That's all legal expenses, $110,000, but on a, there were a couple
different ones in there.
But it's not all legal.
The difference in the, between the budget, the, what I saw was mostly legal. Yeah. Under conventions and elections, we know our election cost us more money again because of COVID, but we got that money back through the Safe Startup Fund. And then under other general government services, other, we budgeted 48, or last year was 48, but we spent 107. That's because we budgeted to give Queens County Transit 26,000 plus 25,000, and then they got another 25,000 from their Safe Restart money, because some of it was mandated that had to go to transit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then our uncollectible taxes, which we talked about again when we did our valuation allowance. Everybody good on page B8?
Yep.
Are we good? Okay. B9. Protective services. The only thing I really have to note, the firefighting force was the actual 857 versus this year 825. The only thing that, you know, the manager of finance and I had a poke around was that in 2020 there were bunker suits and breathing apparatus that were expensed there, which I'm not sure because I wasn't here if it they should have been or should have not been, but we have a lot, we're a lot better on organizing all of our fire department costs and everything this year, so I'll feel a lot better with that. I
transportation services, there was a paving invoice from TIR that came in late, that was $18,000, so we had to add that to this year's expense. You see, our actual was $726 last year, we did $744, that includes an extra $18,000, but we're still under budget, so I'm not sure, because both of the capital projects went ahead that were in the budget. But again, just because there's an expense there, that means I brought $18,000 over to revenue from the special operating reserve to pay for that. So it was like, it's an in and an out. Anybody have any questions on B9? We're almost to the end, then we get to the notes. Okay, B10, environmental health services, this is all of our solid waste. Sewage treatment and disposal. 2020 was $421,000 versus this year was $246,000. Prior year, we had $126,000 expense in town sewer because you, I believe there was a smell.
Pigeon.
Yeah, that was the difference. Garbage, waste collection, and disposal administration. There were some corrections to wage allocations this year. That's why there's a difference between last year and this year. But we still came in under budget, so that was great. Okay, let's go to B11. 14, environmental development services under admin. Elisa's salary was there. That was the difference between last year and this year. It's the thing that stuck out to me the most. Recreation and cultural facilities, swimming pool, obviously, and we didn't have the expenses because the pools were closed, so we really just ticked things over to make sure that they would be okay this year. And then at the bottom of that page under fiscal services, this is our $924,000 expense from gas tax on the trestle trail and the broadband. That's the last line. So that's where we spent our gas tax money this year. Well, some of it. We also used it to pay for Jubilee. And I'm going to ask you, before I have to lick my fingers, I know that's really bad. Right now, to skip to page B35. It's the last page of the consolidated, B35. This is a note that I added this year because in the council meetings I attended, I noticed there was lots of questions about, you know, how we use paper gas tax and things like that. So I added this note with the capital project funding, which lists the capital fund, the capital projects that we had this year, and the total of them, and then you see a reserve. So for example, you see the public works truck, $52,000 came from the equipment reserve. The cat loader landfill, $294,000 came from the equipment reserve. And there's that $347,000 figure we saw earlier. Remember? Transferred into the capital fund. Then under operating, we have Jubilee. That's our gas tax because gas tax has its own reserve under special operating reserve, and we'll see that later in another note. Brooklyn, that was financed out of the sewer reserve. And you remember, I came to council last meeting and asked for a temporary borrowing resolution because we missed the debenture. Because when we budgeted it, we were supposed to borrow, and I missed it. So that's the project that I came to you about, the temporary borrowing for the fall, which we will repay the sewer reserve. And then the Trestle Trail Bridge, 487 gas tax, and Broadband Canada, 435 gas tax. So then I added a note. So J.W. Murphy Foundation also contributed to the funding of the Trestle Trail project, $380,000 in this fiscal year. Total contribution to this project was $1.220,500. That's $1 million. So that was a big project. So Region of Queens Municipality, we contributed $570,500 from the gas tax. So that was this year that we're just looking at, plus last year. And so J.W. Murphy Foundation contributed the remainder of $650. So is that note useful to you when you're looking at, you know, we'll revisit it when we're doing the budgeting process?
Mm-hmm.
And
And then you'll know at a glance, it will be on the website, and you know, you'll obviously, you'll have a copy. But I just wanted to have something that was very clean and crisp, that's tell, you know, it's literally all our capital stuff at a glance, what we did and how we paid for it. So are we good there? Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. I'm gonna pop that one back in, and I'm gonna go back to page B12. Hillview Acres, they got more revenue this year because the Department of Health and Wellness gave more money to cover wages and PPE, so that's why their revenue was up. But again, that $83,000, that goes to the Hillsview Reserve, and we'll look at the balance for that on a note. It comes later. And now we're to our tasty little water utility that we were just spent the last hour talking about. So let's talk for a minute about the allocation of labor. It's a big cost for water utility. And so the Director of Engineering and Public Works and I were talking about this, and we were talking to Paulette, who does our payroll here. There is a spreadsheet that Paulette has used for the last 20 years, yes, that's two decades, to allocate wages for the works and the water utility people that has never been changed. Two decades, never been changed. So the Director of Public Works and Engineering and myself will be sitting down in the fall, and we will be reworking that so that every pay period, either himself or his assistant will sit down and they will put in the percentage of hours that are spent by each person in each category, and it will generate an entry and allocate that labor based on reality, not on the reality 20 years ago. So I don't really have a lot of faith in the allocation of these expenses, because we've seen, and the manager of finance will concur because she's shown me a lot of things, the revenue is pretty straightforward, but the allocation of expenses between the operating expenditures, I think we're gonna need at least a few years to make sure that they're really tight. I've redesigned this, like this statement for the Director of Public Works and Engineering. It has a lot more detail. We won't be providing that to council, and if you wanna see it, you of course can. But it will give us a better tool to go forward and look at where we are and are not spending money. Does anyone have any questions about the water utility? I know it's a lot. No? Okay. Super. So there's our water utility. And this is our water utility balance sheet. So remember, we were talking in the rate meeting about our surplus? There it is, see at the bottom, $599,157, and there's the cash to cover that surplus of cost, $625. So you can't have really a surplus, you have to have cash to cover it. So that's why we have the $625. I mean, yes, there's some receivables there, some payables there, and that $206,000 in payables, that's not a real payable. That's $180,000 of that is, again, entries that were being made to this account called sediment removal, and we are going to ask the UARB for permission to move that $180,000 to its own reserve, because we can't do that just on a whim, because it's water and everything has to go through the UARB. So we'll put that as part of, we'll ask verbally. Blaine and Jerry said we can ask verbally when we have our hearing, and they'll say yes, and then we can do it. So we don't owe $206,000 to people. We owe $26,000 to people. Okay? Anybody have any questions on the water utility? Now, in our funds, the water capital lives in the reserve, in special operating reserve. So water capital means all of the pipes and infrastructure for water doesn't live in the capital fund, it lives in the special operating reserve, and it's called water capital fund, and that's what this is. That, see, $1.059 million, that is the depreciation fund that Blaine and Jerry were speaking of earlier. It's So we have a considerable surplus here. So their recommendation was that we actually start using it and investing in it to, you know, bring our infrastructure up to date. Does anyone have any questions about that, B-15? Good. B-16 is a list of all of our assets that live in that capital fund. All of our goodies. And then at the bottom, you'll see this is the ins and outs of this water capital fund. So we've got, so $206,000 was infrastructure that was built and paid for by another fund that now lives in this fund. That's what that is. Interest was obviously money in the bank. And then term debt retired means we paid, that's payments. They used the word retired and they used the word redeemed. It just means payments. Okay? Alrighty then. Now, B-17. So, this is the last pocket. So we talked about the operating pocket. We talked about the capital pocket. We just did the water pocket. Now this is a special operating reserve pocket. And this is a special pocket because it's divided into three. Actually four if you count the capital, the water capital. But this is three. So we have a capital reserve where we put money for buying capital things, and a special operating reserve, an equipment reserve where we put money away for things like landfill equipment and things like that. So those are the cash balances at the top. And those due to froms are, again, me saying one fund owes the other. And look at that. General operations owes special operating almost $3.5 million. Why do you think that is? Because I hadn't moved the cash yet for that surplus. That's why it has such a big owing. It doesn't now because we actually physically moved the cash. If you go down to the, so this is the balance sheet at the top, and then at the end, at the bottom half of the sheet, this is the ins and the outs all year. So again, look at here. So here's our conditional gas tax, $671,000. That went in, so we're good there. Love the gas tax. PC is post-closure, not progressive conservative, just so you know. Contribution from local governments, that's the amount that they pay per ton when they take garbage into our landfill. Donations, $20,000, that's recreation for life. And then transfer from operating fund, 4.4, again, thus the revenue. 2 point something of that was our surplus that we moved, right? Financing and other, so we transferred it under operating, we transferred $994,926 to our operating fund, $819,048 to our capital fund, and then $206,061 to our water fund. So you saw that 206 on the previous sheet. You see that, you'll see those two numbers will add to the number on your capital note. Because that's how we paid for our capital. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about this B-17? And if you do, and you want to take some time and you want to go and think about it, come back and see me. Because what I did was I color-coded all of these cells so I know exactly what goes in and breaks them down. So I can go back and show you. Kevin?
I thought the gas tax was doubled again this year.
Nope, just the one.
It is. That's the current year we're in. This is last year's financial statement.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Next year.
Yeah.
Next year's statement, you'll see the 1.3 or whatever again.
Okay. So now we're going to get to the notes. Is everybody with me? What time is it? I'm not going to go through all the accounting policy notes because I'm sure you guys have had a chance to read them. And if you don't and you want to read them yourself, go ahead. I know it's been a long morning and people are probably hungry. So I'm going to skip right to B21 if that's okay. B21 is the receivables note that is very important because it tells you how good we are at collecting our monies from other people. So we've been very good in the past. I talked about that earlier. Our receivables for taxes have gone down 13%, and overall our receivables have gone down 10%. Now, that's because A, we have a really good collections policy now, and B, because people have been better about paying their bills. So we have, so the receivables, like government receivables, they're from like the other local $288,982, that's the pension asset that we have still on the books. Those of you who are new on council may or may not be aware that at the end of last year, the pension that was here for the employees here went from something that was internally managed to something that was now part of the province, the province's superannuation plan. So that $288,982 is expected to be very close to the amount that was surplus when the assets were moved, but we don't know what exactly that number will be until the provincial actuary has a look and evaluates the fund. And at that point, that asset will be distributed to the employees as a pension contribution holiday.
Would we do that based upon the past employees that paid into that?
I don't know how that will be done, Darlene, honestly.
Because really, it's their money.
Yeah, well, like me,
like
I wouldn't, I shouldn't be, no, no. So I'm not sure is the answer, but I think that CAO McNeil and I will have to look into it.
It won't be.
The answer is it's not. It's whoever's employed on the day that the happens.
Oh.
They're gonna get it all.
Okay, there you go. There's your answer.
Because it, I mean, the pension asset has accumulated over 50 years, 60
Yeah.
years. And so how much somebody that was here 50 years ago was is due of that 200, and when you cut it in half of that 144,000, it's possible. So the pension standards are that the pension legislation, once it's wound up, then it gets divvied up. So the employer, so the municipality will get half of it because we contribute half towards the pension plan. So we will receive a lump sum or a contribution over a period of time for half of the, whatever the remainder is. And the employees get what's called a contribution holiday, so they get so much per paycheck for the next, could be one pay, could be two, could be three or four, depending on the amount, until that surplus is down to zero.
So that would go toward what they pay for pension?
Yeah, so somebody pays $100 towards a pension on their paycheck today, we would still pay that 100 to the province on their behalf, but they wouldn't pay it to us.
But we take it out of this?
It comes out of this until it's empty.
And we just keep doing that until it's
empty.
So it won't be a long time, because if it's 288, so if it's 144,
three pays
between all our employees, it'll be
three or four pays.
That's
yeah.
what it'll be.
Yeah. Okay, B22, loans receivable. This is where our loans live from our fire departments. You'll notice that the top three did not make annual installments in 2020. That was council. Forgave those loans. B23 is a detailed listing of all our long-term debt with interest rates. So if you're ever interested on how much we owe, broken down, here it is. And you'll see under issued, you'll see the $325,000 and what it was for. So we had some of it was the water utility and some of it was some of it was water utility, some of it was the roads and streets, and then some of it was a sewer.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Why did past council, I mean, Mill Village didn't get a break, right? They still made a payment.
We'll ask.
What are you talking about?
Well, the loans
the
receivable.
No annual installments made. Yeah. Mill Village Fire
they
Department.
They did request it, but they weren't granted.
No.
Oh, no.
It's only the people that requested it that got it.
Oh, only
the,
so
the
they
two,
didn't.
Yeah, the two. Okay, so the two bottom loans
right.
are not paid by the fire departments to us, Mayor Norman. They come out of the equipment reserve that we put money into every year. The truck capital fund, that's where they come from. The top three are paid by check from the fire department to us. The bottom two.
Oh, they were on the fire truck.
That are part of
the
yeah, they come out of the truck fund every year.
Yeah, so when the original 2 cents for the fire departments was set up, there was loans
right.
outstanding at the time. One was Mill Village, one was Liverpool, and it was agreed at the time that those loans would be repaid from that capital truck fund. So those are the two, Liverpool and Mill
okay.
Village. So that you show the balance of what's outstanding. So on the financial statement, you'll show there's a payment. Couple of $26,000, I think, and that would be those two loans.
They're not.
It's not coming from a check from them. That's just coming out of that capital reserve as part of that original 2 cents several years ago.
again, you'll see the column redeemed, that just means the payments you made, the principal payments to all of us normal folk. Interest rates, very good, the debenture number, that's just an internal reference for us in accounting. Does anybody have any questions about our debentures? They live in the capital fund, 'cause they were used to pay the capital things, like the streets, the sewer, that, so that's where you'll see the debt lives in the capital fund, long-term debt. Steve, you awake over there?
So we're only carrying $4.2 million
That's correct.
long-term debt.
Yeah.
Which is pretty low.
That's really good, it's really good, and we will definitely get a greenhouse for that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. So, B24, I always put, this is PSAS note, but I kept it in here, this is how much a long-term debt we have to pay off in the next 5 years, and you'll notice, 2023 has a significantly larger portion there because we have that balloon payment, remember?
Oh, that's.
For water? Yeah. Yeah. Tax sale surplus, now, you know, we can only take the money from the surplus if it's, once it's been sitting there for 20 years, so we're gonna have a bit of a drought, because there was an 8-year basically drought in tax sales. So we'll have to wait until we get our hands on that $10,000 from 2010. And here is the capital asset notes that I talked about, I have 2020s on page B25 and 2021s on page B26. These include the utility plant and equipment, the bottom line is our water. What's the difference between this one and the one in the capital fund statement? B27, contracts and commitments. The contract for the garbage renewal, garbage collection, obviously, you guys talked about it in the meeting, it's gone up this year, $769,000. Plus HST, the contracts for residual transfer of organic material, they don't have dollar amounts on it because it's based on tonnage. So we just put that it, when it expires, they're also, both of them are relatively new. The remuneration note is part of PSAS and it's something that I have to report to the province. We have a fire department funding note here that basically says we have the 2 cents per year from the tax rate. And here we go with B28. Very important page. So, this is a detailed listing of all of our reserves. So this is all of our piggy banks. So let's start at the top. Second generation landfill. Almost $4.4 million has been put aside. And it's been put aside to build a new cell. That's what that reserve is for, to build a new cell. Sewer projects, $826,000, pretty self-explanatory. Organic projects, $757,000. Is that the green bins? That's a lot of green bins. Is
or if we ever wanted to look after our own organics or build something new. I think years ago a new building was built, but that is, that's a lot of money to have an organic reserve.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
The reserve, the monies we put in these reserve, Chris or Joanne or director, are we supposed to have it earmarked like for why we're building that much money in that reserve, for example, in the organic reserve? Should it be earmarked that is for a specific thing we're working toward, or just that it's to be used for organic? So if it was, if there was a piece of equipment that's used out there to move organics around, then that could be considered part of money's taken out of that organic reserve?
We would never know what we're gonna spend it on all the time. So it's just a, so it's just a pocket of money. So sewer projects, we have a sewer reserve, but council decides every year what sewer projects we're going to do. It's not earmarked out 2, 3, or 5 years out, it's just, it's the amount. And so before any of the money that's designated there was to be spent on anything other than what's listed there, that would require approval of council to transfer that money out of that reserve. When you capital ones, those have more stringent regulations, but the operating reserves are pretty wide open. So that's what's been designated by council as of March 31st as to what reserves are there and the allocations of them. But if council wanted to, for instance, get rid of the organics reserve tomorrow, they could. They just have to pass a motion to transfer it to some other location, some other reserve. Recognizing that if you decide you want to build a new organics building out there, you're into several $100,000. If you need to buy new green bins for 6,000 properties, you're probably into hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that $700,000 is gone real quick. That was the purpose of it.
Okay. No, I just wondered if it was, if there was any particular thing coming up.
Okay. Hillsview Acres, so that we've got a reserve there. So at the end of the year, if they make any money, this is where it gets transferred. You saw that they made, well, I shouldn't make, they had a surplus of $83,000 this year, so it went to their Hillsview Acres reserve. We have $537,000 in our gas tax. That is at the end of March. I believe I put a list of the reserve balances as of the end of June. In the quarterly report.
You did.
Yeah.
Did I? I did, didn't I? Yes. And I will be including that every quarter. And if there's any unbudgeted reserve activity, I will obviously, well, you will know because I would have already come to council. But just so you know, there's no secrets. Liverpool Business Development Center, $370,000. So remember earlier when I said, you know, the expenses weren't what they were budgeted? There was expenses added, $70,000 last fiscal year, not the one we're doing now, but last fiscal year, was added to the expenses of the call center with the revenue going to this reserve. So that's why the reserve is so high.
Expenses that weren't related to the call center.
It's just a number, Darlene, of me and Manon. It's a number. So there would be in accounting terms, there would be, you know, expenses added to the statement of operations with the offsetting revenue put into the reserve, where there really weren't any expenses. The expenses were $5,000, but the budget was $74,000, so $69,000 was added to the expenses, and the rest was in, so put it into the reserve.
All right, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So since we say that $370,000 was a budgeted amount, but it would never ever happen, so to speak, or the expenses didn't line up to that. So it's saying that we have that much into that account?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we wanted to look at leaving it there, then we could be working on doing some work or fixing it up for getting it ready for sale.
That's something that council would have to decide, yeah.
But that is there right now.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, that's good to know.
Remember I told you about the 292,400 post-closure septage account that we had saying owed to local governments, and I moved it to reserve. Here it is. Okay. Pollution abatement. Pretty self-explanatory. Queens Place Lands. Is that the 5% subdivision? No.
No.
That's the reserve for the
sale land.
Yes.
That's the money left over from the sales of the land.
Computer equipment, we have a small reserve for that. Parkland fee, that's that subdivision fee that people pay us if they don't put parkland. We have a fire department safety training equipment account, which is now reconciled to the penny, so we know exactly who we owe that $32,000 to. Recreation for All is a reserve that we have for obviously subsidizing some recreational activities.
And that was all donated money.
Yeah,
right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Fundraising, we have Queen's Place and their skate park. That's what makes up that $15,000. And we have a separate reserve now for the West Queens First Responders training equipment because I wanted to keep it separate from the fire departments. Just better. And then the last one was NS Trip, and I'm not really sure what that is. We're going to probably come to council and ask to move that.
Yeah, that's transit. So we would have received money for a transit study a while back for the province. We wouldn't have necessarily spent it all. There would have been $1,000 left over, so just that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Special capital. this is gonna go back to, remember when I told you to remember about the $3.1 million liability or $3.4 million that's on our capital fund? So when we go to value how much it's gonna cost us to close the landfill. There's some math that's involved. You have to take today's dollar and future value it at a certain rate, and then you have to discount it back to present day. So I'm going to try and explain this to you the best way I can, because what I'm responsible for making sure is that we put away enough money today to pay for that closure 20 years from now based on the capacity that's left in the landfill. So for those of you who have grandchildren, I don't have one, but I'm gonna get one soon. So if I wanted to pay for my grandson's tuition, I wrote this out so I wouldn't forget. So tuition today is $10,000. So that would be like the closing costs. What the engineer says is gonna cost us $10,000 in today's dollars to close that landfill. So tuition today is $10,000. So based on inflation of 3%, I can assume that in 10 years, my grandson is gonna need $13,400 to pay his tuition. But we all know that inflation is one rate and interest rate is another. So I need to know how much money I have to put away today so that 10 years from now, I get that $13,000. So we future value the money at 3% inflation, and then we have to discount it back using today's interest rates, which are really low at 1.5. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. So I have to put in today $11,500 into a bank account making 1.5% interest so that in 10 years, my grandson's gonna have that $13,000. That's what we're calculating here. That's what the accretion expense is, if they call it. So I'm taking today's dollars and I'm saying in 20 years, I'm gonna need X number of dollars, and then I have to discount that back to what I need to put in the bank today based on the interest rates today to get that money in the future. With me?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So that's not enough money.
Oh, but here's the kicker, darling. So we're having this all, we're bringing in a consultant at the end of this year to go over our landfill and to check all of our math and make sure all our capacities are right. So we'll be redoing this all next year. But if you look at the special capital reserve allocation here, we've got almost $5.2 million put aside to close the landfill. And according to the calculations that we've done this year, we only need 3.4. So we've oversaved what we need. The problem is that we make these calculations based on certain assumptions, based on that the inflation rate is gonna stay the same. Like for example, this year we used 3.4. I looked ahead, it's now 11. Because you know, construction index has gone through the roof. So that's gonna make the accretion expense next year huge. Probably gonna be $1.5 million at least, right? The point is that we have to look at these numbers carefully when we have independent opinions on what we decide to do. And we can't make decisions yet, because even though it looks like we have too much money, we need to know for sure we have too much money before we do anything drastic. And also, when we look at our investment policy, we know we're not going to use that money for 20 years. So that will be some of the things that we look at investing, because we know we're not going to need it for 20 years until the landfill is closed. Does anybody have any questions about that? You're good?
Yep.
To simplify it, I did here. I said, if I wanted the chocolate bar and it costs a dollar today, at 3%, it would cost me $1.34 10 years from now. So I'd have to put $1.15 in the bank at 1.5% to have my $1.34 in 10 years to buy my chocolate bar.
Don't talk about food.
Yeah,
I was just thinking of chocolate.
Oh my God,
that.
But based on the marketplace, in order to get the same size borough. Chuck, borough, you probably have to put twice as much money because the boroughs are all getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right, true. So the next reserve is special equipment reserve allocations, and that's the part, remember I said that reserve pocket was split into three? This is our three, special operating, capital reserve, and equipment reserve. These are our three sections of the pocket. So in equipment reserve, we have landfill equipment, public works equipment, fire department capital trucks, water equipment, and airport equipment. So we have that all nicely split. I think I lost the rest of my stuff. Okay, so we're good with page B28. And again, if any of you have any questions later, just come see me and I'll be more than happy to talk to you about them. B29 is the pension that we talked about earlier. At the bottom is solid waste closure and post-closure liability. We just talked about that. That just gives you more detail on the capacity and things like that. So we're down to B30, same thing. Budget figures, we talked about the difference between what we budget and PSAS, what PSAS makes us put in here, so that's the difference there. Segment disclosure, that's when all the expenses have to be split per PSAS. So again, this disclosure note is a consolidated note. So you're not gonna see everything, everything's combined here, the reserves and everything is in here. So this number here, 598.44, is equal to the surplus on the front, on the consolidation page. Not the surplus you see on the operating statement, that's why. And B34, we added a little note about the deferred revenue for safe restart funding for the province of Nova Scotia, 597.35. And then of course we get to my lovely little capital note at the end, which we've already talked about. Now that's the non-consolidateds in a nutshell. Anybody have any questions?
It's a big nut.
It's a big nut. It's a good nut.
I think it's great that you've got your pencil sharp and we're putting monies where it should be and we're presenting a clearer picture.
Thank you. It's great. We're having fun,
it doesn't, there's no way apply to any mishandling of funds.
No.
It just said maybe people were working too hard to get their little greenhouses.
Well, it's a different approach, right?
Right.
That's
so,
more clarity.
Yeah. So the last thing we just have to zip over is the trust funds. They're also not audited. And would you like to discuss? No. Go ahead.
So we just hold the six different bank accounts. We get quarterly dividends, and every year the scholarship committee decides based on the based on what the requirements are, who gets those. So it comes out of there. And then it's my Hillsview Acres Trust. So there's still some residents that we handle. We receive their money, we pay out their invoices, and that's where the money is held.
Awesome. Now I did prepare a small summary report that CAO McNeil has. And I'm sure if it's okay, I can circulate it to council, just some talking points. At the end, it says the report to the audit committee from Grant Thornton found no adjustments or uncorrected misstatements or unadjusted non-trivial misstatement of disclosure matters. The draft independent auditor's report included an unqualified audit opinion that reads in part, in our opinion, the accompanying consolidated financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of Region of Queens Municipality as at March 31st, 2021, and its results of operations, its changes in its net assets, and its cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with Canadian public sector accounting standards. So we are good.
I had one question, Joanne. When we had the presentation from the auditors, there was a question at the end about the land at Trestle Trail.
Yes.
What ownership?
So we went back and forth.
Yeah.
And she consulted one of her experts in the area, and it was determined that it was a repair.
Okay.
Yes, we technically own it, but it was a repair because the agreement specifically state it's a repair.
Yeah.
And the Trestle Trail Association has taken over responsibility. So, and they're the ones that carry the insurance on it.
Right.
According to the agreement. And so that's why it's still that $924,000 on
Okay.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I had an almost heart attack there, but it's all good, it all came out well in the end.
Yeah, that's a non-trivial amount.
Yes, it was a non-trivial amount.
So we had made a motion regarding, adopting the audit financial statements, I believe, Christine, before we began?
Yes.
Yes? Yes, because they were reviewed by you.
Yeah.
So therefore, if I see no further questions, I'm gonna ask for a question on the motion, all those in favor? Contrary, approved. I believe it's time to take a break. How much time does council need to, grab something to eat and be back? 1:00, it's 1:02 now. Can we be back by 2:15?
2:15, that late?
Two?
Two is fine.
Two? 2:00. See you all back. 13.1.
13.1.
Okay, I'll call the meeting back to order. First item on this afternoon's agenda is appointment of the fire inspector, 13.1. There is a recommendation to be made before we can discuss this. Counselor Charlton?
I move that council of Region of Queens Municipality appoint Tim Clattenburg as a fire inspector for Region of Queens Municipality to administer and enforce provisions of the Nova Scotia Fire Safety Act, regulations, and National Fire Code.
And that is seconded by Counselor Hawks. Mr. McLeod, Director of Planning and Development.
Yeah, as the Fire Safety Act requires that, fire inspectors be formally appointed by council. So this is, just a recommendation to have Tim, formally appointed as a fire inspector so he can assist with the carrying of those duties, under the act and the fire code.
Any questions of Mr. McLeod? Counselor Brown?
I guess it's safe to assume that he's taken all the courses at this point, or will he be, like, on an apprentice?
He's taken some, but under, the Fire Inspectors Association of Nova Scotia, there's no formal certification as of yet for the fire inspector position, but the act does require that the municipality formally appoint those individuals. So, but he has taken some courses in those, in that regard.
Okay.
Counselor Fancy?
Yeah, so we can have two fire chiefs. Is that what it is?
Fire inspectors, that's correct, yeah.
And so even if we wanted to appoint somebody else, you could be able to do more than two?
Oh, yes, it's up to the municipality. If you have staff that has the ability to do so, but just you're spreading that, those duties among several individuals instead of relying on a single.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of it in further, if you needed extra hands for doing all the work that they entail beyond that.
Well, that's, yeah, it certainly, it's a combination position of the building official and fire official, so, I guess we have to judge the workload of those individuals.
Absolutely, yeah.
Additional staffing is necessary, then I guess we'll deal with that in the future.
Okay, I just wondered if it's possible.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
No, I'll ask, Counselor Brown?
What percentage of their job would be taken up by fire inspecting? I mean, I know we're up 70% on inspections and stuff. Is it a?
These days, it's not as much as should be.
Yeah.
Just to do the workload of the building inspection, so it's something we need to get caught up on.
Yeah.
The additional formal appointment will certainly assist in that regard.
Yeah, so it'll help both of them spread the load a little better.
Yeah.